Spiritual Warfare, Part 2. If you was with us a couple of weeks ago, I started a sermon on spiritual warfare, which is the progression in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And today, we will carry on with Part 2. I recently traveled to the UK on Wizz Airlines. I don't know if you've had the pleasure of traveling with Wizz Air. It's great, not a criticism. The direct flight to the UK is so much better than it used to be when you had to change in Europe. But I will say, priority boarding is a must. 400 deniers extra, it's well worth it. But I'm not sure if you're as foolish as I am. Because when the air stewards demonstrate the safety procedures, telling me where the exits are on the plane, telling me how to use the oxygen masks and the location of the life jacket, I noticed I wasn't really paying that much attention. Even though this information is potentially life-saving, I was thinking, will you hurry up? Let's get a move on. Let's get out of here. Why? I think it's because I've heard it and I've seen it so many times before. They say familiarity breeds contempt. I think that can be true. It is certainly true when I was flying with Wizz Air. And the same may be said of familiar passages of Scripture, like Ephesians 6. We've read them many times, and maybe we've heard numerous sermons about it, and we don't give it our full attention. Well, I hope that won't be the case this morning, because it is a familiar passage, but there's always more with God's Word. So please listen up. God's words are living and can be life-saving. Amen. Here we go. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your Word, which is living and active, and sharper than a two-edged sword, that penetrates our soul, our spirit, dividing it. I pray that you will speak to us individually and corporately this day, this morning, and that you would be glorified amongst us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. So, spiritual warfare, part 2. I spoke 2 weeks ago that we're a spiritual people involved in a spiritual battle against an unseen spiritual enemy. I wasn't speaking about the internal struggle that we have going on inside of us, which is described in the Bible as the flesh or the old man, which is fighting for position. The passage that I spoke about specifically speaks about an external battle, a battle that we have against the devil and his demons. So we hopefully I established that we're in a cosmic spiritual battle of biblical proportions. And that's what we spoke about last time. And if you wasn't here, you can go to icscopier.org and listen to the sermon. Jesus tells us in the Gospels that we are sheep amongst wolves. Without God's armor, we may have good intentions, but trust me, we're dead meat. We're dead meat. I'll rephrase that. Without God, without Jesus, we may have good intentions, but we are dead meat in this spiritual battle against Satan and his demons. I suggested that we did not need God as a crutch, but as a wheelchair, as we are totally dependent upon him, upon his might and the power of his might. But we do have a part to play, friends. We do have a choice to make. I spoke about two elements: divine grace and human responsibility. And we have a responsibility to put on the armor of God. The battle is raging. We have a responsibility to put on Jesus Christ. Yes, it is true that the battle belongs to the Lord, but it is us that wrestles. I spoke about wrestling. So it's like a spiritual battle against an unseen spiritual enemy, and Paul speaks about a physical wrestling. That's how intimate. We are soldiers, and we're not the Lone Ranger. We're not on our own. We're part of a local church. We're part of the universal church. And we have a part to play, friends. So, let's pick it up again, starting at verse 13. In my paraphrased version. So, please forgive me. It's going to be a little different. Therefore, put on all of Jesus, so that when the devil attacks you, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand. This is a key verse in this passage, that we are called to stand our ground. We have to recognize the battle that we are in, and then we can prepare for this battle. So when the devil attacks us, trust me, we will be able to stand our ground. That our knees will not buckle, we will not collapse, we won't be taken by surprise, but we would be ready, waiting, and armed. We can stand firm. We can withstand the temptation to be overwhelmed. The devil may bombard us because the days are evil. We spoke about it. I preached about it in Ephesians chapter 5. These days are evil days. Just look around us recently. What's been happening in Skopje? These are evil days. But the devil can be resisted, since God has provided all we need for this battle. Friends, do we do everything to stand? Or do we fold? Do we buckle under? Do our knees give way? I believe this passage, amongst other things, is talking about a maturity. Not giving in to that pressure. Not falling over when all hell breaks loose, but standing firm and standing your ground. When we fall, Do we stay down? Are we out cold? Or do we get straight back up and confess our weaknesses and move on? The difference between success and failure is getting up one more time than you fall. Getting up one more time than you've been knocked down. That is the difference, friend. And with our relationship with Jesus Christ, the blood and grace available to us, there's no reason that we should buckle under. There's no reason that we should be down and out. Do we know Him? Do we know Him? Do we trust Him? I think the danger of this passage becoming so familiar, we use it as a formula, something to put on and to take off. Oh yeah, I'll put that on. It's Sunday today. Which hat am I wearing? And then Monday, then Friday night, different hat. I've done all that. I've done it myself. Know what it's like. You dead meat. You've gone down with the first punch. What Paul is talking about, in my humble opinion, is that we become like Jesus. This is Paul's life he's writing here. This is Paul's story as he's chained to a Roman guard. As he's under house arrest for 2 years. He's reflecting his whole walk, his life, his persona. Becoming like our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we would be so intimate with Jesus, so tight with Him, that we wouldn't put off and put on, but we would reflect and become like Him. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what the point he's trying to make, in my opinion. That we would know the Prince of Peace so much, so intimately. It would be so great that we would reflect His characteristics, His persona, that we could identify ourselves with God and His purposes. Friends, do we know our purpose in God? Withstand, not buckling, under pressure. Are we wobbly Christians? Or seasoned campaigners, battle-scarred campaigners, like Paul was? He said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. What a statement! He'd been beaten with rods, he's been whipped, he's been imprisoned, he'd been shipwrecked, he'd been abandoned, he'd been blasphemed, he'd been slandered. And he said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. What a statement. Can we be relied upon? Ooh. Can we be relied upon under pressure? As I've been preparing this sermons, God really put His finger on me in many areas. And I'm astounded at how selfish I am. Been married a good while now, a decade, and I'm still amazed at my own selfishness. Can our families depend upon us? Can our wives depend upon us? Can our husbands depend upon us? Can our friends depend upon us? Can our colleagues depend upon us? Are we reliable? Or do we buckle under our own flesh without even the devil attacking us? Or do we take time out and weigh up the consequences of our sinful behavior and the ramifications and implications that it has upon others, and especially those we love the most. You can guarantee they'll be the first to get hurt. Because there's consequences to my sinful behavior. There's consequences to your sinful behavior. Yes, Jesus Christ is faithful and just and true to forgive us our sins and weaknesses. But friends, there's consequences and prices to pay. Funny money, counterfeit money. Do you know the difference between funny money and real money? I'm talking about the dollar bill, the euro, the pound. Well, I used to know a Cockney from London, and he used to call it Jekyll and Hyde, which means snide. If you had a dodgy bill, it was a Jekyll. If you're passing counterfeit money, don't be giving me your Jekylls, because I've got a colourful background, friends. But I'm serious now. Counterfeit money is a million-dollar business. Banks lose millions. The copying, the counterfeiting techniques, the holograms, the printing, computers, it's getting, the technology is here to counterfeit. And banks spend lots of money. Ultraviolet lights, pens that you write on the dollar bill, and if it disappears, the money's good. If it stays, it's fake. But nothing beats experience. You can tell by the feel. They can never counterfeit that paper. I used to buy wholesale tobacco in Ostend in Belgium, and I used to try to pass a few fakes into this guy, and he'd be counting the money up, and he'd just throw it out like that. He did it that fast, he could just feel it with the end of his paper finger and just couldn't pass any on to this guy. He was brilliant. He'd make a fortune in the banks if they employed him, I'm sure. Do we know the truth? The truth is what God gives us so we can tell what the devil's lies are. Do we know truth? There's no quick way. You've got to spend time with Him. Read His Word, get away with Him. Do we know Him, friends? Can we discern truth? Do we know when we've been set up for a fall? Or do we just go blindly in? Do we know the truth? Do we read our Bibles? It is true that Christ is our righteousness. But when we're so close and intimate with Jesus, we can reflect His righteousness, the righteousness of His character. Because this is the context of this verse here. Please, I'm not saying anything that Christ is our righteousness. But when we do the right thing, that's what it's talking about here. We know the difference between wrong and right. And when we purposely do not do the right thing, what do we do?
Sin.
Sorry?
Sin.
Can't hear you.
Sin.
We sin.
So we know the truth. Do we know it? Are we doing the right thing? This isn't rocket science, friends. It's not something we put on and take off. It's getting hot. Ooh. Is that climber on? Boy. See, it's hard really to dissect these verses. Paul is painting a big picture here. He's talking about the whole armour of God. He's talking about the whole character of God. This isn't really something we wear, something we take off and put on. It is who we are, or who we're becoming. Men, it's going to get hotter. When you're alone and you're typing in your internet browsers and your phones, what are you typing? What are you watching? Are we doing the right thing? Are we overcoming? Are we conquering, or are we being conquered? Men, are you loving your wives? Wives, are you respecting your husbands? Single people, are you living a pure life? Do we know him? Do we know him more this week than last week? A willingness to share this gospel of peace. First question, do we have peace? Is our salvation evident in our own lives? Do we want people around us to share that peace? Are we evidence of God's peace? Now here's the rub. Do we want to tell people about Jesus? Are we willing? Are we ready? If not, why not? From my own experience, I've made 1,000 excuses not to share. And that's reason enough to share. Yes, we need his strength and wisdom, but the question is, are we willing? Because this is where you enter spiritual warfare, friends. Once you start sharing, preaching, teaching, and if you can't do it on one-on-one, I can't do it stood up here. That's when you enter in. I found most people I talk to are willing to engage in some conversation about God. Most people are. And I'm not, I believe that relationship is totally important, don't get me wrong, and to do it in God's strength and wisdom, but when we talk about Jesus being God, you start sharing that and watch all hell break loose. But you know what? That's what we're called to do. To reflect our Saviour. Make the most of every opportunity. To give the reason for our hope. A couple of weeks ago, a colleague at work, she's been with us maybe 4 or 5 years. Amazing relationship with her and her husband. Myra and I are great friends. Had the privilege to pray with her and lead her to the Lord 2 weeks ago at work. Brian has impacted her life, given her books for her kids. This wasn't me, but I was willing. And there's nothing as beautiful and as soul satisfying than sharing. And when you see somebody come out of darkness into God's light. Oh, it's a reason to be alive, friends. Now, I'm no evangelist, but we have influence. And as I was sharing, I had the Roman scripture down, and I was already, because I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I felt the Lord was leading me. And it started out so awkward. And I just threw the notes aside. And I just said, you know what? God's had his hand on you since day one. Since I've known you, and he's had his hand on you since you were born. And the conversation went like that. It ended in tears, scripture, and prayers. And it was amazing. Now friends, them days are special. I'm not trying to say I'm anything better than you. I wish there was more people, but I'm willing. I'm willing to share. I'm willing to look a fool. God, I was a fool for Satan. I can be a fool for God. What am I going to lose? Some face? Deary me. Also, we must have faith to deflect all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Having faith in God, using faith to deflect the flaming, slanderous lies and accusations of Satan. Flaming arrows. He talks about sending at us. That's an arrow that's touched in pitch and set alight for maximum devastation and penetration. Not only happy to kill us, but to set us on fire while we die. That gives you some insight into our enemy and how diabolical he is. Because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We have a dangerous, disastrous, despicable, and diabolical enemy. Is there any Star Trek fans here? Yeah, cool. Just two, three, four, with me. Five, and counting. Okay, six. Okay, the Starship Enterprise, I'm talking about the old one, with Scott E, the engineer, puts up the deflector shields when they come under attack from the Borg. But you know what? Even with them deflector shields, I can't hold it, Captain. They can be penetrated. But you know what? Our faith in God deflects every single attack of the enemy. Not one can get through. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by reading. Reading your Bible, getting away with God, experiencing Him, reflecting, meditating. Look upon your life and how many dangers God has already brought us through. This faith isn't a blind faith. This faith is a true faith. Over a year ago, as a lot of you remember, I got diagnosed with cancer. And through God and my faith in Him, through your prayers and His grace, I did not buckle under. I didn't. Amen. You've seen me. I'm not bragging in me. I'm bragging in the strength of our God. Amen. Why? It was terrible news. It was awful news. But the worst thing that could have happened, that I could have gone to be with Jesus sooner rather than later. Paul puts it like this: to die is gain. I wasn't ready to go, friends. Had a bit of business to do. But you know what? It was well with my soul. And for your information, I had a blood count last month, all clear.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Do we believe, friends? Can we raise up that deflector shield of faith from the lies, the accusations, and the slander of the enemy? Taking hold of our salvation, wielding the submachine gun of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, earlier in this chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, I think Brian Pastor Brian preached on it. God has already accomplished salvation for us. When he's talking to the church here, we are saved. He's made us alive with Christ, raising us up, seating us with him in the heavenly realms, saved by grace through faith. This salvation has already taken place. Past tense, he's taken us from darkness into light, delivered us from death, wrath and bondage, and transferred us into a new dominion of which Christ rules. The devil is defeated. We've come out of darkness into Christ's marvelous light. Friends, is that our experience? If it is, send a telegram to your face. I'm serious. Smile. We've got something the world hasn't got, and the world can't take it away. Don't put this salvation in your back pocket with your car keys, friends. What's been revealed to you is the secrets of the universe. This is cosmic. This is powerful. The position and power and authority to with Christ has been raised is greater than that is possessed by the supernatural enemies. We know that Christ has defeated the devil upon the cross. And we can defeat him with the word of God. One verse of scripture can do it. One verse. Forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. I am a new creation. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This hope of glory that we've got, friends. The sword, the submachine gun. Yes, we need to stand firm. Yes, we need to buckle under. But the word of God, that is the offensive, friends. We don't have to stand firm and buckle under. We can stand up, put our shields up, deflect the lies and accusation, and go forth and conquer in his power and his spirit through his word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. The focus of our thoughts should always be on God. His might through and his mighty power, we must nurture our relationship with him, that we mirror him, because our weapons are not physical weapons, they're spiritual weapons. The top and bottom of it is, friends, that we put on Jesus Christ. Stand knowing the truth. And then withstand, standing firm, not buckling under. And by knowing the truth, we can withstand the lies. Because we know truth. We don't know it in part, we know it in full. No eye has seen, no eye has heard. Do you know what the next verse said? But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Everybody quotes the one, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what understands the Spirit of God. The next verse said, but God has revealed it to us through his Spirit. We know truth, friends. Standing, knowing truth, to withstand, doing the right thing. Share the gospel of peace. Having faith will deflect the lies and accusations of our enemy, the devil. And I purposely spelled it with a little D. I despise him so much, I'll even get my English wrong. Having experienced salvation, we can defeat the devil with the word of God. And we can conquer and we can overcome in Christ. Father God, we thank you for your word, for your truth. I pray, Lord, in your strength, our weakness would be made perfect. That we would so embrace you, we would so get close to you, that we would so reflect you, that we would know you so intimately, that we would become part of you. You in us, and us in you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.